Amen. Nothing like setting myself up for failure, huh? Thought on Easter we'd show you a video of what a real preacher sounds like. And then I would get up to preach. And we'll see how that goes. Praise the Lord. That's a good video there. And that should do something in your heart. That's why we're here today on Resurrection Sunday, is to talk about the Lord. To talk about the Lord. And He is all of those things and more. Junior church, you can be dismissed. And so kids, back to junior church, and the workers, you can head on back there. The rest of us, let's turn to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. I'm going to double check my cell phone here. If you would do the same, just put your cell phone on vibrate, or I like to put mine in airplane mode so I don't have any surprises. But Luke chapter number 23 this morning. Thank you again for being here. And it's a blessing to be in church. It's a blessing to have a living Savior, as the songs that we sung about the Lord. And in Luke chapter number 23, we are going to read a few verses here about the what Acts chapter 1 calls the passion, His passion, the passion of Christ. And this week, today, is a celebration of that week. It started earlier in the week. It started with Christ being taken in the garden. And in Luke chapter number 23, we're going to read in, starting in verse number 33. So Luke 23:33. We'll start reading here. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written, also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Look down in verse number 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. And the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. And this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto him, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. This is a story that is unique among religions of the world. This is a story that is different than any other religious book. This is a historical fact written in the Bible about a man that was born of a virgin who claimed to be God, who lived righteously. He was blameless with all of his dealings with man. He was tortured and he was crucified for false crimes. He was buried, and on the third day raises from the tomb to prove that he was God, to prove that he was who he said he was. After that, he appears to his closest friends multiple times and family members. He is seen of over 500 people at one time. And then he ascends up into heaven in Acts chapter number 1 with the promise of sending his Holy Spirit to dwell with those that believe in him. And this is the passion. This is the kind of the brief summary of the life of Jesus Christ. And he was crucified. That happened. A celebration of happening this week. He was crucified, hung on a cross. He was beaten and tortured, and the Bible says that his life wasn't taken, but that he laid his life down. He understood the will of the Father, and he willingly laid his life down. What the Bible says is for the sin of the world. And then he rose from the grave. Now, many men have died making claims. Many men and women have said, follow me, and yet they have died and stayed dead. I'd like to say that Jesus is better. Amen. Jesus is better. Those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior understand when the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1 that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. That was his blood that wasn't quite the same as you and I, because Jesus Christ was a man and he was yet God. And he lived a life of no sin, a life that you and I really haven't even attempted to live. But he lived it, a life of no sin. But yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if Christ be not risen, then is our, he's speaking of himself, is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead like he said he was going to several times, then he was just a man like any other making outlandish claims. If he did not raise from the dead, then he is in fact a liar that said he would raise from the dead and did not. And yet, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is better. Amen. Jesus is better. Now, I say Jesus is better. That's technically the title of the message. But this is not a series of good, better, and best. All right? So this is not a last week we talked about good, and this week we're talking about better, and next week we're going to talk about the best. No, there's an old Southern gospel song that says, He is higher than the highest. He is greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. We're not talking about Jesus Christ is better and yet there is a best. No, we're talking about someone that is better than the best. We're talking about someone that who is better than all, and that is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would, in your Bible. We're going to pray in a moment here, but Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to spend the remainder of our time here in the book of Hebrews. And Paul, I believe, being the writer of the book of Hebrews, the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he writes this letter, he pens this letter to show his own people, the Hebrew people, the Jews, to show them that Jesus Christ is better. And he says it here in verse number 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times, that's a word we don't use that often. It could mean several times. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, capital S-O-N, that's Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, Christ the Son being the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Look what it says in verse 4. Being made so much better. Being made so much better. And this morning I want to talk to you about some things of why Jesus is better. Because Jesus is, as Paul says here, so much better. He's so much better. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the message this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the celebration that we can have of your resurrection and your death on the cross. Thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the health to be here and the vehicles to be able to drive into the parking lot, Lord, and to be here this morning with many that are saved and many that are born again. Lord, thank you for some visitors. Thank you for those that are faithful and attending regularly, Lord, to be here, to enjoy the choir song and the video, Lord, and to be able to sing ourselves together and lift up our voices unto you, just to worship you and to praise you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for being the Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being God, the Creator. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin, that we could freely accept the payment that has already been made for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask that you would bless it now, the preaching of your word. Lord, that you would be increased and I would decrease in the sight of your people, that we would know that all things done was from you. And Lord, we ask for to give you honor and glory today. Thank you again for your many blessings. Help us to be the soldiers and the servants we need to be and live for you and to praise you with our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews in verse number 4 says, being made so much better. Being made so much better. Jesus Christ is the best. He is better. I'd like to say, as far as point number 1 goes, I'm just going to take it right from verse number 4. We're right here. Why complicate things, right? So verse number 4, the Bible says, being made so much better than the angels. I'd like to say that point number 1 is Jesus is better than the angels. He is better than the angels. Now, if we look at angels in the Bible, we can see that angels in the Bible are notable beings. God uses them for several different things. We can see that angels have great power in the Bible. And God sends angels sometimes ahead of his army to destroy his enemies. And God sends an angel to do great things in Egypt that man can't understand and man couldn't do in and of himself. An angel is nothing to be messed with. We find Michael the archangel, and he's the warrior, and he's the one that carries the sword. And we see in the Bible there's a time when Michael and his angels are battling with the devil and his angels. And Michael's an angel I'm not going to mess with, all right? We see that angels have some great power. We see angels are servants of God in the Scriptures. We see that they're messengers of God in the Scriptures. And the most famous one being Gabriel coming down and talking to Mary and Joseph about what is going to be the birth of Jesus Christ and telling them what he is going to be and how the Holy Spirit is going to come upon Mary and all these things. And they are great messengers in the Bible. And even here in Hebrews chapter number 1 talks about angels being ministers, ministering to Christ and being ministers of those that God sends for them to help. But Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is certainly better than the angels. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." The Bible says in verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Worship him. He says to all the angels, you should be worshiping my son. The Bible says, my only begotten son. And Jesus wasn't a begotten son until he took on the form of humanity and born of a virgin Mary. And so all to the angels, he says, what about my son? Have I called any of you my son? No, but this is my son. Worship him. Worship him. He's better than the angels. Hebrews chapter number 2, look in verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place steadfast, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Yeah. Who was that? That was Christ. He says, God didn't put everything under subjection to the angels. He didn't give everything to the angels. Who'd he give it to? He gave it to someone who came and was made a little lower than the angels. Say, what's lower than the angels? Well, we are. Mankind, we're lower than the angels. He said, I gave it to someone that was born lower than the angels, but I've given everything unto him. I've now given everything unto him. And through his death on the cross, he tasted death for every man in verse 9. And he was made the captain of their salvation in verse 10. Because of his death on the cross and his resurrection and a sinless life. Jesus is better than the angels. And I'd like to add, better than the angels, he's also better than anything else in heaven. He's better than the cherubim. You know, and maybe you have some little decorations or some porcelain things, and the cherubim, they have the wings and that. He's better than those. He's better than the saints that are already in heaven. We don't have to pray to any dead saint. Why? Because Jesus is better. Jesus is better than any saint that is now in heaven that has put their trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's better. He's better. He's better than the angels. I'd like to say this also. Secondly, Jesus is better than other men. Jesus is better than other men. We're in Hebrews chapter 2. Look in verse number 14 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. The Bible says that this man, Jesus Christ, he is worth more glory than Moses. He's worth more glory than Moses and the prophets. Why? Because this man, Jesus, was more than Moses and the prophets. Moses, actually, in Deuteronomy, talked about a man that was going to come after him, and he was going to be that prophet that was going to bring about all the promises that God had made unto Israel. He said, there's someone that's going to be greater, and he's coming. I'm just going to tell you about him. Even John the Baptist, the Bible, Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, of men, there's none greater that are born of women. There is no one greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty high praise from Jesus Christ. Except Jesus Christ is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to mess with his shoes. I'm not even worthy to mess with the shoe latch that he has. Why? Because there's one that comes after me, he says, that's greater than me. He's greater than me. Jesus Christ is greater than any priest or religious leader. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Look in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Chapter number 5, in verse number 5, says this, making this same parallel with the priests of humanity, the, the priests of the day, says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Of course, that was God. Look in verse number 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus Christ is far better than any priest, any preacher, any religious leader. Jesus Christ is better than any other man that's ever walked on the face of the earth. He was better. Why? Because he was made perfect and he became the author of something that I could never author, eternal salvation. That no other leader that is lauded as someone to follow in religious circles. Jesus Christ is far better than them. Jesus Christ is far better than Muhammad. I'll let it sink in just a little bit. Jesus Christ is far better than Buddha. Jesus Christ is far better than Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, he might not know Jesus is greater than an angel, because he saw a big one and he said, whoa, everything this angel says, I need to follow. Jesus Christ is far better than the Pope. Amen. Jesus Christ is far better than these religious leaders that have been lifted up and magnified in the sight of men. Jesus is far better. Why? Because all of those men have died or will die, the current pope, will die like men, and we're going to stay in the grave. And yet the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the exaltation of God to heaven and sitting on the right hand of God and being given everything in subjection unto Christ, he's far better. He's far better. His death wasn't just a normal death. His resurrection wasn't a normal thing that happened. Why? Because Jesus is better. He's better than other men. Let me tell you something else about why Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus is a better hope. Jesus is a better hope. Look in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Look in verse number 11. Hebrews 7, verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? All right, skip down to verse 14. Bible says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. All right, this is talking about the Old Testament. It's talking about the Jews, God dealing with them. He gave them one of the 12 tribes of Levi to be their priesthood, to be their go-between between the people of Israel and God. And they would take the sacrifices and offer those to God. And they had to go through those sacrifices to get to God. And the high priest would be able to take that blood sacrifice and take it into the mercy seat, which is, the Bible says, where God would sit and dwell with Israel. And only the high priest could go in and do that. Not just any priest, only the high priest could go in and do that. And so there was a disconnect there. And so Paul writing here saying, listen, of the tribe of Judah, Moses didn't mention anything about a priest coming out of Judah. So if the Levitical priesthood could take care of everything, then what's this out of Judah? What's this person coming out of Judah? Continue on here. Look in verse number 18. In verse 18, the Bible says, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, insomuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Look in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. A priest would serve, and then one day he would die. But this man, who? That's Christ. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. Jesus is a better hope. He's a better hope. He's a better hope than good works. Amen. Some people have a hope of good works. Well, if I just be a pretty good person, then I'll be able to I'll be able to please God if I can just be a good person. No, Jesus is a better hope than your good works. You might do a lot of good works. But the problem is we also do some bad works. We also do some wrong things against God. And so Jesus is a better hope than good works. He's a better hope than religion. He's a better hope than belonging to a church with a certain kind of name and a certain place. And because grandma was a part of that church or dad and mom were a part of this religion, Jesus Christ is a much better hope than religion. Jesus Christ is a much better hope than education. And how much we can absorb and how much we can memorize and how much we can learn. He's a much better hope than education. The problem with mankind is sin. That's the problem. The problem with you and me, it's our sin. And if we have any hope Your hope should be in Jesus Christ. We try to justify ourselves in this life before God and before men. Why do we do that? We do that because of the guilt of our sin before God. In an attempt to try to just make it not seem as bad as it is. If we could just clean ourselves up, and if we could just show up for church, and if we could just be overall pretty good people, then God would have to accept us, right? I mean, if we get to heaven and you know, there's the big balance there, and it's the scale, and God comes up and he puts all of our good works on one part of the scale and all of our bad works on the other part. If we can just get the good part to be heavier than the bad part, then God would have to accept us into heaven. He would have to be pleased with us. Except we highly overvalue our good works. I mean, we put such a priority on the fact that we didn't do the really bad stuff. We're hoping that God also puts the really bad stuff we didn't do on the good side. And that'll help give us some weight from the sin that we've committed. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that our own righteousness, God sees as filthy rags. Our best attempts to come in here this morning and dress up and look in the mirror, I think, yeah, most of you looked in the mirror this morning. Did something with our hair, did something where we were going to show up and be presentable. We put our best foot forward, we sit and we smile. We get told to sing really loud and we go, wow, okay, let's sing, got to sing louder. And we do all these things and God looks at us and you know what, God knows what's going on in our minds right now. He knows what's going on in our hearts right now. He knows what's going on during the song service when we're thinking about, what's for lunch today? And when the preacher's preaching, like, how long is this guy going to be? He knows what's inside. He knows what nobody else knows. God knows what's in our minds and in our hearts. And when God looks down and sees the real us, I mean, I'm talking about the us that only you know about you and the me that only I know about me. And if my wife knew about me what I knew about me, she'd be like, see you later. But God knows all that about us. He knows the real us. He knows the part that a smile and a shower can't fix. He knows the part inside of us that has gone against God and against, on purpose, against his commands and against his will. God knows that. Listen, Jesus is a better hope. He's a better hope. He lived a sinless life that you and I could not live. We wouldn't even choose to live it if we could possibly live it. You wouldn't do it. He lived a sinless life. He died a death that, quite frankly, for sin, you and I deserve. Yeah, we're gonna. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're going to die someday. Amen. If the Lord doesn't come back, all of us are going to someday take our last breath. Why? Because we're not getting better. We're going the other way. It's kind of the curve. And, you know, some of us are on the way down of life. He died a death that you and I deserve. He raised himself from the dead to give us victory over what the Bible says is the second death. Amen. Taking our last breath in this life isn't the scariest thing. Amen. It's without Jesus Christ, what the Bible calls is the second death to come. And that's in a place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Good works and religion and education and a shower and dressing up and a smile. Boy, Jesus is a better hope than those. Jesus is a much better hope than that. I'll give you a reason why he's a better hope. Another reason why he's better is because Jesus is a better sacrifice. Jesus is a better sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, look in verse 11 with me. Hebrews 9, verse 11. The Bible says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, now sinless, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. Chapter number 10, in verse number 4. The Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and sin for offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. For by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This Jesus Christ, who is made so much better. Now, I understand that you and I, this idea, speaking to the Hebrews, this idea of this sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats, that's foreign to you and I. All right, that's foreign to us, because we're not going out and buying a sheep so that we could sacrifice it to God so that he could have a blood sacrifice. But to the Jews, this made perfect sense, because that's what God had demanded for thousands of years. Is that with the blood of an innocent lamb, of a ram or a lamb or a bullock or an ox, depending on the sacrifice in the Old Testament, that blood that was shed was enough to appease the wrath of God upon the sin of man. Amen. And when Jesus Christ came, Paul's describing here, no, Jesus Christ is a better sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats. He's a better sacrifice because his blood shed on the cross of Calvary, shed one time, is an eternal sacrifice for anyone who will believe in Christ. He's a better sacrifice. You and I, we don't understand sacrificing a sheep for our sin, but religion says you must do something to earn it. That's what religion says. Religion says you have to do something of yourself in order to earn salvation. And that's not what Christ said. What is it? It's less sin. It's more repentance. It's more sacrifice in your life unto God. And you will be gaining favor with God if you do these sacrifices. We're not used to it here in America, but in countries where certain religions rule the country. You know what they do at certain times of year, like around this time of year? They take little cords and little whips and they crawl on their knees to a statue and they whip themselves in the back until they bleed to show themselves unworthy and to make themselves small in the eyes of their God. You don't have to do that. In fact, the Lord never asked you to do that. In fact, I would go the opposite way and to say that if there is a spirit to saying to hurt yourself and to harm yourself to please a God, it's not the God of heaven. It's the God of this world. Why? Because Jesus is a better sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice ourselves or cut ourselves or do self-harm or to put ourselves so low that we're discouraged and we're depressed because of who God is. No, he did all of that. Jesus is the better sacrifice. We're not a substitute sacrifice for the blood of bulls and goats. No, he is the substitute sacrifice. Jesus Christ said, I will lay my own life down and become the sin of the world for you and I. He's the perfect sacrifice. You and I could never be a perfect sacrifice. You and I could never have sinless perfection. The only payment that God desires is the payment that his Son already gave. And God just asked that you and I receive it by faith. Because the sacrifice was already given. Because Jesus is better. Jesus is a better sacrifice. Not only that, but Jesus established a better covenant and a better promise. Jesus Christ established a better covenant and a better promise in Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter 8, maybe back a page or so. Verse number 1, the Bible says this, Hebrews 8, 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Again, talking about this heavenly as opposed to an earthly place. And look in verse number six. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. A better covenant and better promises for you and I, because of his sacrifice for our sin, we can accept him by faith. Amen. We can accept Christ by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our faith is in Christ and in him alone, we can be justified before God. If you've noticed, that word mediator has been in here a couple times. What's a mediator? It's a go-between. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and men. Who is that? The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. There is no other go-between. There is no, well, just become a Baptist and we'll get you in. There is no denomination, religion that gets you in. It's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's how we can be justified. The mediator is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that knew us and knew our humanity and knew our frailty and knew our need. He's the only one that could take the hand of man and yet be all God and know the sinless perfection of God and to be able to take both man and God and bring us together. He's the only thing that could do it. You and I, we can't get there. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We can't just work our way into heaven. We can't connive our way and figure it out. No, it's a covenant of faith to receive Christ's righteousness in place of our own. That's what happens when you accept what Christ did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. When you receive that of Jesus Christ, that finished work of Jesus Christ, we didn't read it in Luke, but he says, one of the sayings on the cross is he says, it is finished. What's finished? The final sacrifice. When he dies, it's finished. The sacrifice is paid. And for us to be able to receive Christ by faith, you know what God does? He gives us, sinners, the righteousness of Christ when we receive him by faith. He gives us his righteousness. So when God, when we stand before God, it's not this. We stand before God either with our own righteousness or the righteousness of Christ. Sinless perfection. You say, well, that sounds a little arrogant. Oh, it's not arrogant. I'm not sinless. And you don't even have to ask my wife for that. You can know. Just spend a few minutes with me and you'll be like, probably shouldn't have said that. That was rude. No, it's not arrogant. It's not me saying, well, look at me. I have Christ's righteousness. No, I received Christ's righteousness by humbling myself before God and saying, God, I have no righteousness of my own. By faith, I trust in the sacrifice that you gave in your Son, Jesus Christ. By humbling myself before God and receiving Christ, he then freely gave me the gift of Christ's righteousness. He freely gave that to me so that when I do take my last breath in this life, that I stand before God and he sees me with the righteousness of his Son. Not me standing there saying, well, I did some good things. I was even a pastor. That's got to count for something, right? If not before everybody else, at least before you, God, right? It's got to count for something. No, it counts for nothing outside of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because I'm a man like everybody else. Not only is it the covenant of faith to receive Christ's righteousness, but it's the promise of eternal life in Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. This is kind of harder than it looks sometimes. And I make it look hard sometimes. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus established a better covenant and a better promise. I'd like to say this lastly. Because of Jesus, we have a better enduring substance. Say, that sounds fancy. I just stole it from the Bible. Hebrews 10, look in verse number 34. Hebrews 10, 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, the writer speaking, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Because of Jesus Christ, we have a better enduring substance. We have, for those that are saved and born again, for those that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the rewards of heaven. We have the escape of hell through Jesus Christ. We have the promise of his word. The Bible says that his word is forever settled in heaven. We have a better enduring substance of seeing loved ones who've gone on before us that had their faith in Christ. We get to see the Savior. We get to place our eyes on the one who died for us that we have to receive by faith because we can't see him. We have to believe the words of God and receive Christ by faith. And with that faith, we have some enduring substance in heaven someday. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have any of it. Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're without hope in this world. I mean, we're people that are without Christ, they're putting their hope in something. They're putting their hope in being in a better place. They're putting their hope in, well, I'm a pretty good person. They're putting their hope in, I think I'm just going to die and go into a hole in the ground. And that's it. I'm putting my hope in the fact that I followed this little thought and I followed these commandments and I did these other things and that's going to get me there. The Bible's making the comparison in Ephesians 2 to Christ and any other hope and says, without Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Today, on a day when we celebrate his resurrection from the grave, because up from the grave he arose, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Because of his death and his burial and his resurrection, he's the best. He's the best. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Lord meaning above all. Savior is the one that saves us from our own sin, our own judgment, our own penalty. It's Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice. He is better. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.